You're listening to the Rogers Sporting Goods Podcast with Patrick Fisher,
Chandler Smith,
and Josh from Outdoor Limits.
In this podcast, we'll touch on everything from gear to ducks to deer, turkey and fishing, from field to table. Let's dive in.
Welcome back for another episode.
There you go.
The Rogers Podcast. I'm joined here with Patrick and Chandler as per usual. And today, we're going to be talking about some exciting things that are happening and things that have been on our brains for a while.
I think we're all we're getting kind of addicted, Josh more than everybody, but before we get into the topic today, we have done some little bit of adjustments on the video side of our podcast. Normally you would go to YouTube if you wanted to watch the video of this, if you're listening to audio version, and the videos would be on our standard Rogers YouTube page. But now we've actually are in the process, and by this, when this podcast is out, we're almost there. I think we're real close, but all of the podcast videos will be on a new Rogers Podcast YouTube channel. Anything else, Hayden?
Yeah. So if you are an avid listener or you want to watch all of our episodes of the Rogers Podcast, they've been re-uploaded to that new channel, like you were saying, and that is at Rogers Podcast on YouTube. And you'll see all of the video podcasts on there. And then over the next few months, we'll be kind of adding all of the audio versions of the podcast to that channel as well. But since it's YouTube, wanted to start off the video. But yeah, go ahead and go over there and subscribe and stay tuned to that if you want to watch the podcast more.
Jeez. Pat, you got your cable here pretty tight. That's probably Hayden, though. Mm-hmm. He always keeps these things snug. But, all right, today we're talking about all things crappie. And boy, I mean, in the time of me being employed at Rogers, crappie fishing has changed tremendously. Like, it's just, it's grown. There's so many techniques. There's new stuff to talk about. There's electronics involved. You know, what, 10 years ago, Pat, what were you doing for crappie? How were you fishing for crappie?
I honestly just, if it wasn't like traditional minnows on a bobber, which I felt like, which is just tried and true.
Yeah.
I mean, but let's just say bait wasn't available. It'd just be a little small jig head with a, like a crappie tube.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever used. And I just toss it out there and.
Little bitsy tube.
Yeah.
Little two inch tube.
That's all I ever fished with was tubes.
Yeah.
I didn't have the solid ones now. I mean, there's how many different companies have mm-hmm. different crappie tubes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's a straight tail or some sort of skirted mm-hmm. looking, you know, or gosh, there's so many. It was mm-hmm. just
black tails, chartreuse,
red and chartreuse. That's all I ever threw, basically.
Only two colors, huh?
And I would just fish around docks if I was on a boat or just, you know, whatever. But
you know,
that was it. And it was just a small little, you know, painted jig head.
Yeah,
I feel sometimes I felt like if I had a painted jig head, I was
living life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
or if I had a red hook, I was like, ooh, watch out. I got a red hook.
Yeah, we can get into hook materials too. We can get into some gnarly stuff in a bit.
The hooks and the different types of jig heads and like I didn't even like road runners that I wasn't doing any of that stuff.
Road runners are hot around here.
So it's just like there's so many.
But I don't know about down south that the road runners is more popular than vertical jigging and stuff, but they might be. Just because all the like,
technology wasn't there either. So I wasn't, it's not like we were scoping out piles of crappie.
But I think it's strange that crappie are not all over the all lower 48. So we might have listeners. I know we have listeners in the Midwest for sure, in the South and Kentucky. And we got people emailing us from all over. Louisiana's got great crappie fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri does well. Texas, where I was just at a month ago, they're over Easter. We were catching some big crappie. But like, if you look at this map here, Josh, I don't know if you've ever seen the map, but
that's the range of a crappie.
That's like the crappie range, and I'm sure there's
the shaded part.
Yeah, the shaded part. I'm sure there's.
I had no clue that was the thing.
But it looks like there's nothing past the Rockies out west. And really, it looks like
Continental Divide.
Yeah, it really looks like even some of Nebraska and West Kansas, they say doesn't really have it. Now, I'm sure that
they probably stock them. Yeah, but that's probably like the native range.
Yeah, and then
the crappie,
and then the extreme northeast don't like probably everything above North Carolina. Like, there's a weird line there too with the mountains.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, like maybe the it's Appalachian just some, mountains.
Yeah,
Mississippi so maybe River Valley.
Did you guys see that video about how to pronounce that?
Appalachia,
Appalachian, or Appalachian? Like, everybody says it differently, and I don't.
Oh yeah,
one way's right, and I don't know which one it is. But we're Midwesterns; we don't know. But I think I say it like you did.
Appalachian.
Yeah, Appalachian. And then Josh, I think, said it closer to accurate.
If you're from there, you call it Appalachia.
Yeah.
But if you're from here, you call it, what'd you say?
How'd Appalachian.
You say Appalachia. Appalachian Mountains.
I don't know.
I never really talk about them anyways.
So. But yeah, past that mountain range in the northeast, they're not present there according to this map. But so if you're out west or in the, you know, in Maine.
I'm going to try to get some of them ocean crappie.
You're missing out on the crappie, especially if you like to eat some really good, clean white fish.
Does it dip into Mexico, or is that basically just stops?
Yeah, no, it goes. It goes
southern Texas.
And I don't know if I was looking at the lower 48 and if it stops right at the southernmost part of Texas, but I'm sure there's big crappie in Mexico too.
Yeah. Is it Falcon Lake?
Falcon's like on the border.
Like the borders.
There's
probably some in there.
Oh yeah, I imagine there's crappie
some
in there.
Big bass in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. But
it is.
I haven't heard much about Falcon lately. But
how I fished.
It was hot 10 years ago.
Totally different.
Yeah.
It's just all different. And then I didn't really know either. It's not like, obviously I've come a long ways in the fishing side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't, you know, I wasn't in tune with the rod I was using and, you know, what pound test I had on, you know. So now I'm very in tune with.
Yeah, we're going to get into some gear here in a little bit,
too. So,
but I was just,
that all makes a difference.
I just want to point out that maybe we have somebody in Washington, you know, like, they've never seen a crappie, which is wild to me. If you're an avid fisherman in the Midwest, I mean, you either go out or you catch them by accident when you're largemouth fishing sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, that's when I caught them the most, was just throwing like a crankbait. And
really?
Yeah. You just
small little crankbait.
Catch crappie.
The right time, man. They'll smash it.
But if you go anywhere right now, the banks are just lined with people fishing.
Yeah, they're starting to,
bobbers and minnows.
Yeah.
And jigs.
And that's a blast. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nuh-uh. It's great. I did it the other night. I didn't catch anything.
You went and got some minnows?
No. No minnows.
Oh.
I was just using a jig.
You're using a jig. Yeah.
Same tactic. Float.
Man, there's something about watching a bobber with a minnow on it. Like, for me, I'm so, like, engaged, tunnel visioned on that. And some people aren't that way. I've fished with some family members, and their bobber would be bouncing, moving, running around, and swimming around, and they have no idea. But me, I'm like, even if I have my eyes off it, the moment it does something weird, like, I'm in. Like, I see it, you know.
Yeah.
I'd use minnows more if I had, like, a good place to swing by and get them on my way.
That's the thing
the
about, yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of places that, like, at least around here where you can get minnows. But, like, if you go up to Minnesota, like, every bait and tackle shop sells minnows.
Yeah. But I think we should figure out some type of vending machine for minnows. I'm kidding.
Like the ice machine.
Yeah, like it's twice the ice, but twice the minnows.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
It's a big jump.
I don't think that's a great business model.
But one, and how does,
you
know what I mean? You'd almost have to just have it pre-divided into dozens.
Yeah, I don't know.
Couldn't just push the deal. It might be mostly water.
But, yeah, I mean, there is sometimes different people in different areas, there's a struggle to get bait. You know, sometimes you got to go a day before, get a bait cooler, you know, keep them overnight in your garage with an aerator, and, you know, you got to deal with that type of stuff. Or you go on the lake and you don't get out super early. You wait till the bait shops open up, you know. And some bait shops that are good, they'll open up decently early, but they might not open up at first light. But anyway.
That's true.
Before we get into techniques, I mean, Josh, you love to fish crappie. Pat,
fish. I love to try to fish crappie.
You know how to catch them.
I'm an equal opportunity. Yes.
They've been a little bit funky the past couple of days.
I think there's been it's hit or miss right now. Like, there's a lot of people that have been catching them.
It's about to be on.
There's a lot of people that have not been catching them.
A lot of reports I've seen, and they clarified. We went out Saturday and caught a few, not a ton, but they were like transitioning and they were moving through.
By Mother's Day weekend is a good weekend
for our area for sure.
Yeah, granted, we're Northwest Missouri.
But we kind of before this started, we talked about black and white crappie, and you know, what do you feel like you catch the most around here?
White crappie.
White crappie.
I do. I feel maybe in Texas, I think we're catching some. I think we caught a lot of whites, but we did, it was probably about 70. Let me see if I got a picture.
And typically, if I catch a black crappie or what I think is a black crappie, it's in my mind, it's typically smaller and mm-hmm. it's pretty dark. It's yep. black.
It's definitely the coloring is definitely like tips you
and
off.
And I'm like, yep. hey, that's.
But I've heard, and I was telling you guys this earlier, I've heard that it's like you can't just go off the tone of the fish.
Yeah, because when they get full spawn mode, they get really black. They you get know, dark.
But there's a couple things that I see on the black crappie different than the white crappie, and that's the way the mouth is turned upwards more than the white crappie is more of a horizontal. The white crappie yep. supposedly also has more of a longer football, where the black crappie is more of a rounder panfish.
Yep, I believe it.
And then they talk about the dorsal fin spines. There's more on the black crappie, so there's 7 or 8 versus 5 to 6 on the white. I'm not ever counting that stuff, but that's some ways
at,
to tell.
I'm looking
the more
at
you know.
What size do I need to get to or that I want to keep?
Yep.
And that's what goes in the live well.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what size do you guys personally, not thinking about like the regulations on that particular body of water, what size do you like to keep?
12.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking 12.
That's best case. Like what's like when you're deciding if you're going to keep this or not, what's like the lowest inch?
10.
10.
I've probably kept a couple.
Well, a lake that I fish most of the time for crappie, the minimum length is 10.
And it's not that it doesn't taste good. To me, it comes down to the time.
Is it
worth cleaning a 9-incher?
Am I going to clean this 8-inch?
Yeah. Our local body of water.
And that changed.
Yeah. Used to be 9 inches or
and
over
above.
15.
15 of them.
Yeah. Which I thought was pretty fair, but we had we'll get into this here in a bit, but crappie spawn like crazy, and they're also kind of bullies when it comes to.
And that lake has a lot of crappie.
As far as like eating all the bait fish and just kind of mm-hmm. bullying up on largemouth and stuff and just being more of a consumer to the bait fish and food sources and stuff. But where was I going with that?
So they recently changed.
Oh, they changed it from you can get 15 over 9 and 15 under 9.
Yeah.
So.
Why would you want to keep anything under 9?
Well, what,
I don't know. Whole cook them?
For them, some people will.
There is some people who
they're just,
have they, different
they
ways
just
of.
Want to catch. Yeah, they don't mind filleting them.
Taking the time.
They just want a little fish stick.
Yeah.
But I think for the MDC or that area, I mean, I know what they were doing in their hopes is we've got to take some crappie out of here.
Yeah, because they're just going
they're
crazy.
Stunting.
Well,
not necessarily
stunting.
A couple years ago, I didn't catch it. Derek caught a 3-pounder.
You know what? Maybe one of these days we need
but
to
I've
just...
But I've seen multiple 17.5 inchers out
but
of
they
that
get,
lake.
But there's just so many. And yeah. if you just let it go...
Yeah. You know what we need to do is one of these days, when Patrick's here, we need to dip out of the office and go hit the lake.
Don't we need to do a crappie fishing video?
Oh, yeah. That's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Just wait. It's going to be great.
Where was I reading... Was it on this one? So well, with the whole spawning, thing, I was reading down here that black crappie can produce up 180,000 eggs per spawning season, but they don't do that all at once, like Josh was thinking. They don't make one bed.
I've cut them open, and then it's definitely not 180,000 eggs inside of it.
Well, I guess I don't know how tiny those an egg is, but
yeah.
But black crappie is 180,000, but they don't do it all at once. They do it in spurts, and they sticking to sediment, rock, and vegetation. White crappie, they can have as many as 325,000 eggs, and they'll lay dozens at a time throughout the spawning season, with up to 50 spawning sessions.
That explains a lot. That
occurring.
Explains why, like you're catching them on the bank on a bobber with your jig a foot below the bobber. Fishing shallow for like a month.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're
that explains why
the crappie up shallow is a I think a longer window than I think largemouth on beds are.
I think 100%,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going a whole month of.
Yeah. And they do talk about maybe a second spawn on largemouth and stuff like that, but we don't have to get into that today. But I feel like for the month of May in our area, you can, I mean, you're going to go catch them. Some days better than others, but you can go find them from a bank, from a boat. Everybody gets, you know, in that fish in that certain section of water and they're in there. You just got to figure out if they're suspended, if they're on the bottom.
Yeah.
What are they, you know, what are they attracted to? Or are they definitely in this type of bottom, like rocky, different, you know, different areas and stuff?
Yeah. Like I had a customer come in just, and I should have asked where he was moving from. Cause he said, hey, can you help me out? I want to get into crappie fishing and I'm moving here. So I was guessing from out of state.
Yeah.
He was moving. He wanted to know what he should use. He wasn't having any luck, you know. So what I tried doing for him, though, was setting him up with different looks and then depths, too. So, you know, I was telling him, like, crappie one, if you're trying to hit the spawn, like Josh was talking about, sometimes they're up there, it's like a foot. You're barely, you know, trying to get that depth. Sometimes they're a little deeper. So, but the one thing I brought up was like, don't be afraid. We were talking about using minnows in a bobber. I know a lot of guys that fish artificial, but have a bobber on hand because they want to put that bobber on there and keep that artificial bait.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah, Saturday. That's what I was doing the other day.
So yeah, we can kind of get into some tactics there. And they start off with like the simple minnow bobber.
Well, here first before we get into that, let's say this. Crappie always feed up. If your bait is below them, they will not eat it. It has to be at their level or above it.
But
keep that in mind when you're rigging your tackle.
Is that 100% or is that a very general?
It's probably not 100%, but
I feel like when they're on the banks and bedding hard, I've thrown crappie jigs like a bass jig and caught them like crazy.
Oh, I have too.
So it means
they're
on the jigs on the ground.
It's a little different in the spawn, I think, because like they're protecting.
They're protecting a nest. So I'm throwing that in like different nests and stuff, and I'm getting hit from above. But it's not really like they're feeding down. They're feeding almost at a horizontal. They're watching the floor of the lake or whatever.
This isn't like a technique that people are using, but how small of a Ned rig could you get?
Oh, Ned rigs are...
Just toss it out there for crappie.
There's some small Z-Man Ned rig stuff is great crappie stuff. For big crappie, too.
Pitching, especially during the spawn, like pitching...
Yeah, don't get all the secrets, bro. But yes.
I'm just saying, I'm getting excited.
But yeah... I have a trip I'm leaving tomorrow to go to the Ozarks and do like 5 days of crappie fishing.
Sure.
Yeah. And some small Ned rig stuff is definitely on the list. But
you gonna bring out the turd dangler?
I might have to bring some. Yeah. But
yes, there's multiple ways. So obviously the bobber and the minnow, right? Been around a long time.
Okay, so I usually use an Aberdeen hook
for the minnows,
number two or number four size.
Yeah.
We've also, when you're in a pinch, you can use a barb bait hook. And those are like eagle claw or something. Rogers makes one too that have like the little barbs in the back of the shank.
Yeah, or you could just use a jig head.
Yeah, I guess that would sometimes jig heads will eliminate
I want that
like having to use split really, shot. Yeah,
and it gives weight to
so where minnows, do you guys so hook your minnow through with the hook?
I don't know, my dad tried sending me a video of something yesterday. The way this guy hooked his minnow
really
was wild.
He like run line through the
I don't know.
You don't know.
Either through the nose or through the back. Just depends on the size of the bait.
I've for the movement of the minnow, I've changed over to I think I've done it most of my life that way, but behind the back, behind the dorsal fin, a little bit lower. You're trying not to hit like the midsection of the minnow because then you kind of stunt its movement. But you're trying to hit like this. You're trying to hit like this meaty zone right behind the dorsal fin and in the back, and they run around they'll last a long time that way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's my typical. But, honestly, and I don't mind doing minnows. My thing is just, one, keeping them alive, how many, you got to get the bait, It's more stuff. I'm like, get a little box full of artificial baits and jig heads, and I'm good to go.
Yeah,
nothing to carry.
Man, you know, it was kind of nice the other night. I went out. I had a 5 gallon bucket. I just threw like some pliers, some clippers, a couple of my tackle box was like this little box. I threw for some jig heads in there.
Right.
And threw it in there and had some plastics, and that was it.
Yeah.
It was like I could carry all my fishing gear in my pockets.
Yeah.
Did you see the this is kind of funny. You're talking about a bucket. Did you see the it was like a meme or whatever, but the like stools you sit on, you know, they put next to your bed if you can't make it to the restroom, if you're injured or whatever. No, but it's, you know, it's like a chair.
Like the white ones? Yeah.
And it was like the new
fishing. It looks like a cross between a walker and a chair.
Yeah, the new fishing seat. Because you just sit on that like a normal chair, but you just lift the lid.
You got your bait bucket.
You've got your little bait bucket right underneath.
So, jumping off from the minnows, you know, split shot minnow. My family's been doing it for a long time, but the slip bobbers are game changers. And, you know, over the spring bobbers, you can cast them better. You can just play around with your depth quickly. That type of stuff.
I haven't found a bobber stop that I like.
Really? And now are you talking about a bobber stop that goes through your guides well or a bobber stop in general that you like?
Just in general.
Because I've noticed I'm okay with it, but I use the rubber bobber stops, and I always go down a size compared to my line. That's the thing I do for bass. It just sticks better. But you don't have to do that for crappie. But so I run like a 2 to 4 pound bobber stop, and I'll be running 4 to 6 pound line potentially. And I like the rubber ones because they're easy to install, and I think they look cleaner. But some people talk about how they do make noise through your guides, depending on how small guides you have on your rod. But the tie-on ones.
Yeah, that's what I've got the most experience with is the string. Put it on there.
They're supposed to work pretty good. You know, that's what we were using down in Texas at over Easter was, and you can slide them up and down, and they didn't really, you didn't affect your casting or anything like that. But, but you're able to set your depth and, you know, cast it out there and do a vertical jig presentation. But for minnows, I mean, these jig heads that we're talking about are ball-headed jigs. We typically sell the most 16th ounce is the most we sell, but we've also offered 24th, 3/16th, 32nd, 8th. We've got some other options.
Yeah.
25 and 100 packs.
Yeah, I was like looking at our reviews on our crappie jigs on the website, and
they're all good?
Oh, yeah. Like one thing, the first guy whose review was, these are great paint coverage. Hook eye not painted shut and sharp.
That's the thing about the jig heads that we make is like the eyes are cleared, so you don't ever really have to worry about it.
But there's other, you know, you've over the years, you've been able to, you buy a whole 100 pack of crappie jigs and all the eyes are are dipped shut.
Yeah, it's the biggest pain in the butt.
And you have to get another hook is one thing I found, crappie hook.
A bunch of little
and then
tools.
People buy the tools that punch out the eyelids.
There's a hook out there that, okay, so the keeper on most of your crappie jig heads is like that. It's got like the little nub or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it Kalin's?
Yeah,
makes maybe. One, but it's the little wire.
Yeah, I got some of those in my
so
box.
So really holds your bait really well.
Yeah.
They paint all their eyelets shut.
Like they get shut. I mean, I think it's how, and I don't know.
Every single one.
Ours, I think. But I imagine they're still dipped, but somehow they have a better process of cleaning. But that's what the dipping on the paint, the powder dip, and then like the baking is why those eyelets are shut after you do a bunch of those.
It could just like run a string through all the eyelets.
And we might, ours that we're making, the factory might have just another weeding process where they go through and just clean up all the eyes.
Oh.
But
yeah,
we actually use, and so they're normal, like straight shank ball head with a little hook keeper. Or a bait keeper on it. That's a 90-degree bend on the hook inside the ball head. And our standard ones have a black nickel hook, but there's also differences in hook materials. You have bronze, you have gold, you have this black nickel, and red, I think, is a gold, but painted red, I believe. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But I was telling Josh about gold hooks, guys either use in the winter or they use when they're brush pile fishing directly over it. Because the gold hook, you can just bend it straight out if you're using the right braid, and mm-hmm. you can pull it back up, you know, get your jig back, and then take your pliers and bend it back, and it's still got the same strength. But some, like a black nickel, if you did that,
they don't like to bend out.
They don't like the bend first, and if you did bend it, if you tried to bend it back, it might snap.
Yeah.
I don't know how many bends you can get out of it before it becomes brittle.
Or you pull your brush pile up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we
how
have
many times have you done that?
Yeah.
But no, that's, we've got all kinds of different.
I always crappy. Know I'm in the right spot because I'm always snagged.
What's your jig head color of choice?
I like chartreuse.
Yeah.
I got chartreuse and white.
White, I, you know, you can never go wrong with white. I like chartreuse.
Yeah.
I'll even go with no paint. I'll just honestly, rock a lead,
honestly,
lead head.
If mm-hmm. you're in the right spot, a no painted jig head, if you it's just fine. Wanted to buy bulk or yeah. whatever, you know, like 100 pack of some unpainted jig heads.
I don't even know. Do we make a non painted jig head?
No.
I don't think
not anymore. We used to sell. We used to sell them from like a local guy who would just make a bunch. We'd sell them in 100 packs unpainted. But now, I mean,
they're
how we're sourcing them, it doesn't really make, there's not enough difference to go with the unpainted option.
Right.
When a local guy was pouring them and dipping them and all that stuff with painting, it uh-huh. took time out, you know, it cost him more labor to do it, but how many we're yeah. doing now is just go painted. But before we get to this jig head, so you can straight line these jigs from a boat or a dock, and you can have one on there. But I like to run two jigs quite often.
Yep.
Most of the time. And you run two?
I usually do. Like if I'm vertically jigging,
if you're vertically jigging. So if you're using a slip bobber or if you're on a dock or a boat and you're vertically, your line's going straight down, yeah. I will try to run two if I can. And there's multiple ways to tie that up.
I haven't found a good way to do it.
You haven't found your favorite way to tie it up?
Mm-hmm. I want to learn how to do it.
I just don't do it.
You do one? You just do one jig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just use a Palomar knot.
And then you cut the loop?
No, I just take the tag in and tie another hook on it.
Yeah. Okay. So you actually complete the Palomar knot, and then you use a just have a long tag in, and you just tie,
and I tie another hook
yeah.
on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually started playing around with dropping a second jig like a fly.
Oh, really?
I'm tying.
Put a little leader on it?
I'm tying another piece of fishing line to the hook of the top jig, and I'm tying it to the eyelet of the next jig.
Yeah.
I felt like it would help me with getting less tangles if you've messed around with, like, running a double rig and everything's getting tangled up or whatnot. But I've seen a way. I don't know what exactly the knot you tie, but you would – you would tie a knot where you want your first jig, and there'd be a huge loop, right? That would mm-hmm. be left over. And then on one end of the loop, closer to the knot, you cut it, and that gives you your, like, 12 inches of line.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you just tie your jig to that. And then at the bottom of that main line, you tie your other your jig. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So, different stuff, Pat.
Oh, my gosh.
Something you have to try out.
I'm just a single jig.
Yeah. But then you've been using a lot of those sly shads on that jig head, right?
Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite lures that we make is the sly shad.
So on vertical jigs, I don't use a lot of paddle tails or curly tails when you're vertical jigging. I don't personally.
I don't.
I use anything on a vertical jig. I'm usually trying to do something straight tail that has some action when you're jigging it up and down.
Yeah. We've got two baits that are great options for this. It's the sly shad.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the other one called? I can never remember what it's called. I honestly forget that we made it.
It's still a straight tail.
It's a little bit different. It's more like a beaver tail straight tail. It's not like a little skinny
almost
tail.
Almost hollowed out.
It's hollowed out. And we also make tubes.
I know
tubes.
It's hollowed out. We do have tubes. Okay, hold on.
What was it called?
It's not Prankster Jester.
Prankster Jester.
No, Trickster's the tube. I'm going to get it here in a second.
Sly Shad. I think it starts with a B.
You think? No, I don't think so.
It's right there.
First. Slab Thief.
Slab Thief?
Yep.
Is that what we called it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I do not remember that.
I always forget the name of it. It's a slab thief.
I forget that that bait exists.
A 2-inch.
Dang. Look at that sale.
Yeah, 75% off. We are cranking through them. We got 20 colors in a lot of these crappie jigs. Yep. But the slab thief is kind of a cool. It's not a. It doesn't have like skirt like a tube like the trickster, or whatever we called our tube one. But it's got like a straight tail, but it's kind of hollow.
It's like a cross between the Sly Shad and the tube.
Yeah,
the
little tricksters the tube that we have. But that I like that one in the winter, the slab thief. And then I like the Sly Shad pretty much every other time of the year. But the Sly Shad has a little shad, like a little minnow profile and a little straight tail. And that tail just dances around.
It's such a great lure.
Yeah. I got a bunch of those ready for this weekend. But that's what I would put on a vertical jig presentation, whether you're doing one jig or two. And usually when we do two, we try to mix and match
different colors, shapes.
Sometimes it'll tell you, hey man, they're just hitting this chartreuse like crazy, or they're hitting this pink like crazy or something. Yeah. I don't know.
What are your go-to colors that you like?
Depends on if I'm vertical jigging, I'm liking whites and chartreuse and pinks and maybe some sparkly blues. Like some blue and sparkle and stuff.
What about orange? Orange is a color that like I've always been curious about but never used.
It's never really stood out to me as a color that like really changes things, but I'm also sometimes a simple, like, just give me something white and chartreuse.
Give me white, black, green, yellow. Yeah. Like I'm happy, man.
I'm a black and chartreuse, or maybe red and chartreuse, or like a June bug,
pink and chartreuse.
So when I get to moving lures, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, like June bug chartreuse or pumpkin chartreuse, those are some great, I don't know why, but I like those moving baits.
Monkey milk. Or whatever.
What's that one? Is that Bobby Garland?
It's like I say that just because that's like that type of color, but like a whitish, but it's more creamy looking. I don't know. It's just not pure white.
It's an ivory or French pearlish.
Yeah. Gotcha. Kind of like that.
But, that's vertical jigging, slip bobber, straight line, whatever. Mm-hmm. Before we get into live scope and stuff like that. Another tactic for around here for the fishing off banks or just fishing covering ground is running you could say an inline spinner or a road runner is what I tend to use a lot. It's a blast. It's a small 16th ounce underspin, and I pair those up with a curly tail or a paddle tail, and those are just great when the fish are up spawning. Oh, it's great. They have a little Indiana blade, real small one underneath. It's a horse head or a donkey head, if you've heard it.
A pony head.
Pony head. There's multiple names for it, but.
Yeah, those are a great lure to use when they're up shallow, they're feeding good. Probably about, like for us, mid-May time, early to mid-May.
Yeah, like it's not there yet.
We're not quite to that roadrunner bite yet.
We make the Speedy Bee, and we have like nickel and gold blades, and we have whites and chartreuse and blacks and blues. And
is it just one size?
We currently make one size right now for crappie, the 16th ounce.
Yeah,
but if you kind of transition to the bass side, we have some other stuff coming as far as like bigger options, which could be like bass or walleye or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this, a bass guy would look at this, if it was a half ounce, he'd be called an underspin, or he'd call it a roadrunner by its traditional branding from TTI Blakemore, I believe. But I take these pony heads and run either our prowler or our
jester.
Or a jester on it. Or a slider from
could
the
you
slider
that
brand.
2.75 inch, that little
prankster?
It looked like a swim bait.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prankster.
The prankster.
I did that last year at Lake of the Ozarks on the same trip I'm going on.
Big fish.
But that prankster was a great option as well. It's a little bit longer, but it still works.
Yeah, jester, prowler, prankster, those are all great options to throw on there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely. So we have a new, like the prowler is made kind of specifically to fit on those roadrunners, the Speedy Bees.
That's what I saw that guy the other day.
because it's got the right body length to fit the shank of the hook. Sometimes you can get too long of a bait, and it's you end up getting short strikes. I went about
3/4 down on the prowler.
Hey, speaking of shanks, didn't we make a short shank?
So, our standard jig heads are, I don't call them a short shank, they're just standard, but we actually made a long shank, version.
Did we do a short shank?
Or but we don't have a short shank. Okay, we just have our standard. And then we did. We made a long shank crappie jig, like a 16th ounce long shank, which allows you to run bigger.
You could do that 2-inch.
You can do that 2-inch prankster, like 2.25, 2.5-inch baits, or like muddy water, those straight tail.
A little longer.
They're not 3 inches yet, are they? They're
Is there a two and a half maybe? And a 3-inch?
I don't know.
Or a 2 and 2.5.
Maybe a 2 and 2.5. Well, that longer also, shank gets that hook farther back and helps hook up ratios.
Yeah. Right. If they're short striking it, that'll help.
But like a standard slider, which is a great lure, it just has a longer body on some of the jig heads would be, or some of these hooks would be a little bit shorter on the back, and sometimes the crappie can hit it and just pull your tails off.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah. So that Roadrunner, it's just cast and retrieve, and you play around with how fast, how slow, rod tip up, rod tip down. You're just trying to get that bait in that section and just, you know, get ready. And
yeah, because I feel like most of the time when I'm fishing, I'm throwing, you know, whatever type of jig head with whatever grub I'm putting on there, whether it's a, you know, slab thief or a single tail grub or whatever. And I'm casting out to a spot where we think there's crappie.
Yeah.
And I'm letting it sink down and then doing, you know, just a slow retrieve back.
Yeah.
You do that little eight count to get down there, and then you just kind of keep it in that strike zone.
I let it go to the bottom, and then I just bring it back slow or fat, you know, depending on, and that's 90% of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And it's worked, but.
Get out there and figure it out. I mean, that's the best way.
I need to get the boat out. It's ready to go, so I need to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna. I feel like we got something coming up in the next month or so.
Yeah,
trying to get through the turkey
season. Yeah, let's get through turkey season.
I'm trying to do that, you know, and use the days because that's
Well, it's Missouri's turkey season. What, 2 weeks?
You only have so much time, so I'm trying to get that out of the way, and then really hammer down.
Yep, exactly.
On the fishing.
Yeah, next week I'm going to hammer turkeys, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Good luck.
So yeah. I am ready to fish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this weekend I'm getting a little head start to my turkey season. I'm going to go crappie fishing, but somebody new to the crappie comes in and they want to buy a rod and reel. Like, I can see sometimes a person purchasing a little bit heavy rod and reel combo for crappie fishing without knowing what they're looking at.
The gentleman yesterday.
Was he looking at like a medium or medium heavy or something?
7.6 cranking rod.
Now you can get a 7.6 light potentially. I don't know if they really make that, but you could
I'd go with personally well, I'd go
a real long.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah. There's a lot of different rod options.
What the biggest thing is these rods have line and lure ratings on them. And that's really kind of like a big indicator of what you need for crappie. Because if you're only throwing 16th ounce jigs and you buy a medium heavy rod, it's going to struggle to throw that thing anywhere.
Yeah.
Because you need that jig to you know, affect the rod, to bend the rod to launch it farther, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you're putting 1/4 ounce jigs for crappie in 20 foot of water.
Mm-hmm.
You need something a little heavier.
Yeah. But you're never really buying a medium heavy. I mean, medium light would be the most I've ever would look at for a crappie.
Yeah.
But light and ultralight are just great options. You're looking at a light rod, an ultralight rod, and you can get anything from a 5.6 ultralight to a 7-foot ultralight.
Yep.
I throw a 7-foot light for like the Roadrunner and a prankster for casting and retrieving, a 7-foot light. I love it.
I'll use my ultralight for that stuff.
I can use my ultralight for that as well. I think the ultralight, I was using it with this Roadrunner the other day. I think your hookup ratio is better with an ultralight.
You think so?
I think the rod lets them take it a little bit better than a light.
Yeah, it does have that a real big bend and it gives a
parabolic
lot.
Flex.
It loads up. Yeah.
But
what are those yellow like eagle rods?
Oh, eagle claw.
The old eagle claw.
They're like a whip.
Yeah. They're lower than ultralight.
I don't even know. You lift up the rod and just.
Yep. But, so yeah, 5'6" to 7 foot if you're going to run traditional, and then we're going to get into dipping in a second. But
yeah, my favorite way to fish them is with a dipping rod.
Yeah, and then a light, ultralight, you're looking for something that has that 32nd to 5/16th or something like that, some weird range, but you want to be like, you want your quarter or your 16th ounce to be like right in the smack middle of it.
Dude, fishing lures make me wish I paid attention more in school with the fractions
and stuff.
Yeah, it's so confusing, man. People just start throwing out numbers like, this is a 5/16th, and I'm like, hold on a second.
My thing is, it's like, can you keep it?
Can we pick
16th, 8th, quarter?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, we got 3/16 or what's the 64ths?
5/8, 3/8, 3/16, 5/16. It can get 1/10.
And now we're getting the net heads. They got like 1/5, 1/10. Like,
yeah.
But then there's some crappie guys who really wanted the 24th ounce, and we made them. So
it's all about how fast.
What are they, math wizards?
No, it's all about how fast you want your bait to get down there for the presentation. Do you want a slow presentation, or do you need to get down there fast if you're fishing in 30 foot of water?
Mm. Those are serious dudes.
Yeah.
I love catching them deep, man. When those, like, early spring.
I'm just fishing.
Yeah. We had a day one time. We were fishing in 35 feet of water, and we were pulling them out about 20 foot down. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So with that rod, you're going to buy a reel that matches, and you're going to look at a reel that holds – you know, maybe they say 4 to 6 pound or 4 to 8 pound. I don't know what the reels actually say, but you're looking at a reel size that's going to be either 1500, 1000, size 25. Like, I don't know why. I wish all the companies would use the same sizing number.
10s, 20s, 30s. Yeah,
10, 20, 30, 40. Yeah.
Some are 1000, 1500.
20 or 2000, 2500.
We had a gentleman ask for a 1500 size the other day,
yeah,
which we don't have those. Currently,
we don't have any Stratic 1500s.
We might have a Stratic,
yeah,
but you know, thousands or 2000, even a 2000 isn't terrible.
No,
depending on, and that's the other
depending
thing,
on who made it, what company, yeah,
is making it too, is how big it is.
One of our, I think, our most crappie sold reel in store is a Revros 2000. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Revros
up against a President 25. Or a
President 25.
A 6925 or whatever the new model number is.
Yeah.
Right. But
like, you can get into a Fuego right now for like not
Fuegos
much
are
money.
Nicer than the Revroses, but they're like 110, I think, or
110.
Something.
110. Yeah, but it's not that's terrible.
That's a really good reel for crappie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, ooh, look, President right there.
Yeah,
that's Revros
right there,
man.
Right there. First two options on our website.
The Fluger President.
Fluger President.
That's just
that is like that's the real.
They've done such a good
rods I've had.
How many people have a President either in their boat at the home? There's got to be a President spinning reel in about everybody's boat.
They did good with the newest. I mean, they've all been really good from the 6725s or, you know, I don't know if there was a one before that. It might have been, but. They just have a good feeling handle. They have a really thick bale wire.
They're smooth.
Like, they're smooth out the box.
Yeah, and
$70 for a Fluger 25.
That expensive.
And the 25, like, I don't know why they use that sizing, because if you transition, like, to a 2500 in a Shimano is a bass size. It's not a crappie size at all. But a Revros 2000 is still a crappie size. It's still got, like, a 1,000 size frame. Mm-hmm. But like the spool is a little bit bigger,
and you can go a little bit heavier with your crappie setup to get more of a multi pursuit kind of.
Yeah, I'm a 4 to 6 pound somewhere in there. Just depends.
Same. If I'm in Texas, I might try to go 6. So the next thing, you find a reel that fits the size. You're looking for the reel that has the line size for what you're going to fish with your 16th ounce jig or whatever size jig you go with, and your 7 foot light or your 7 foot ultralight or 6.5 foot light or whatever you decide to go with.
Yeah.
There's even 500s. I forgot about that. My dad loves his 500 size reels. Like, they're tiny, like micro spinning reels.
Dang.
But then you got to pick your line. I mean, obviously, there's monofilament.
Fluorocarbon braid.
Fluorocarbon. But braid has been a big one lately.
10-pound braid.
10-pound braid, which has a 1-point-something diameter.
Not a clue. 10-pound braid diameter.
All right, well, let me look it up. Okay.
See, you're all technical about this stuff, dude. I just grab whatever I need and throw it on the reel. I don't look at it. Like, I'll throw.
Greg uses.
Really?
Greg Mason.
Uses, yep, his braid.
Yeah, I'll throw 10-pound braid.
The reason is because that way he can just pull the hook out.
Yeah, and it's, you use gold hooks and braid, dude.
Yeah,
and he just straightens that hook out and pulls it out.
If you're jigging, like vertical jigging, braid is the way to go because you have way more sensitivity and not as much stretch.
Okay, so this one's not as bad. Sometimes like the fire line and stuff has a wider range, but like a Suffix 832, I just clicked on one. It's a great braid. Great braid for bass fishing, great braid for crappie. A 10-pound braid is like a 4-pound diameter. Mm-hmm. So you can do an 8-pound braid with 3-pound diameter. Or a 6-pound braid with 2-pound diameter.
And by pound diameter, you're talking about what the compared to monofilament
equivalent to monofilament. Because fluorocarbon's even off than that, too. There's a little bit a pound or something off between fluorocarbon. Fluorocarbon's going to be a little bit smaller per the pound rating.
So fishing in general, rod and reel, when they say your line weight, they're talking about monofilament.
Yeah. But then the reels now will have like a braid that... they'll have braid numbers on there for how much braid you can get for whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But like Suffix 832, Power Pro, these guys have kind of all the same diameter and stuff.
Can't forget about that spider wire.
Yeah. They've got all sorts of different options as far as popular ones. Colors and glow in the dark and all sorts of fun stuff. Let's see what 10-pound
Power Pro. I thought spider wire had like the coolest packaging.
They do have cool packaging. The one thing about... So 10-pound on Power Pro is actually 2-pound diameter. So Power Pro does have a smaller diameter per the test. So the cool thing about 832 and Power Pro is how they've created the braid, how it's woven together is a circle. And if you compare that to at least the traditional spider wire that I remember, if you looked at spider wire through a microscope, it's a triangle.
Hmm.
Or like a diamond shaped of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens, and you can get, you know, and it can happen with Power Pro and stuff too, but the round stacks better and the triangular spider wire and stuff can dig into the spool a little bit more if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
Have you ever hooked onto a tree and then like you ripped into it and all of a sudden that braid is like...
It's cut way down
into your spool.
Yep.
The Power Pro and like 832 and some of the like J braids, some of these other braids are made in a more of a round shape to prevent it from diving into your spool like that. But
the more you know.
Yep.
Dude, how do you learn all this stuff?
I don't know.
You were just fishing nerd for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Like secret. Well, I wasn't secret, but I mean, that's why I started working here. Is to get deals on lures and rods. Really to get deals on rods. 12 years ago.
Yeah, how long ago was that?
Yeah.
Still looking for those deals.
still looking for those deals. Yeah. But from your braid, do you go straight to the jig or do you tie a leader?
Depends on water clarity.
Yeah.
And if I really feel like doing it and if I remember how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Figuring out. There's so many inline. So many people are running leaders off braid right now. There's like 20, 50 knots about inline. Not line to line, not tying
blood knot,
double unis, surgeon
knot.
Yeah, all sorts. There's new versions and different ways to do it. It's hard to keep up with.
Nail knot.
I have some saved on my phone. Like, I don't know.
I'm gonna need to like print off a sticker and slap it in my boat.
Yeah, I just usually go with. If I'm dealing with,
you remember the laminate. Like on the old Flambeau tackle boxes where it told you how to tie your improved clinch knot.
Mm-hmm.
Like I need that with like every knot and slap it on the side of the boat,
yeah.
Like on the side of a console of a boat, so you could just. How do I tie this again?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could just Google it too.
I don't know why I
have to remember the name of the knot.
That's a lot. I'm one knot.
Your Palomar knot guy.
Yep, that's it.
I use Palomar with braid and improved clinch knot with mono.
I use improved clinch with mono for anything small. Sometimes I get technical on my hooks when I go with, I'm fishing for big largemouth with big line, like 15, 20-pound line.
You ever tie a snell knot?
Yeah, I do that on flipping hooks all the time. So I tie to the shank of the flipping hook. But for crappie, I'm not like, I don't worry about it. I just try the fastest improved cinch I can do 6-7 times on the wraps, yep, and then call it a day.
I like what you got pulled up there. That's a good transition place right now.
Oh, is, tools?
Yeah, we got quite a few different Rogers accessories. Yeah,
we haven't got the dipping yet, but
it's kind of turning into a Rogers fishing gear commercial, but
I'm just excited to go. I'm on the website clicking through stuff.
Yeah, same. It's just like I keep clicking add to cart so I know what I need to buy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got slab checkers. So
that's what I was going to go into. The slab checkers are awesome.
Yeah. So if you guys need to measure your fish, whatever body water that you're on, I think it goes out to like, what, 12, 13 inches?
Yeah, I think it's 12.
Yeah, up to 12 inches. So if you catch one over 12.
If it doesn't fit in the checker,
that's a keeper.
Good chance it's a keeper. I've had that happen before. Yeah. But yeah, it's real simple, easy. You just slide the head of the fish in there and measure the tail.
So if you guys are,
you can squeeze it a little bit if you need.
You don't have to take it off your
hook. You don't have to. That is the cool thing. I wish we had one here. I have one at home that I was packing to go, but you don't have to take your fish off to put it. So if anybody remembers the green easy checkers from Flambeau, is that right? Mm-hmm. They're not made anymore. Am I right?
Not that I've seen.
Now, Fraybill.
Well, they might be.
And I think there was some type of patent on it. That
white one
is still made. But there is something the about
easy checker.
The easy checker. But there's this green one that had like a thumb press and stuff. Like it's a, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. There was a red one.
A red one?
Yeah, that we have at the store. Things.
All right, maybe it wasn't Flambeau. Is there a red one?
Yeah.
What company?
Just put in.
Okay, KPI, maybe. Like, this is the one that people, like, would rave about. Yeah. Do you remember this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy right here.
Yep.
KBI? I don't think that's right.
But the line.
But you still have to take it off the fish.
You have to take the line off on that one.
But it had better side coverage to help keep it from flopping out, and it had a spot where your thumb to press down on the fish to keep it from moving.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like the popular one, and it's not made anymore. The one that you can get right now, besides the one that Rogers makes, is the Fraybill Easy Checker.
Yeah.
Which that's just it's a clear plastic. And it's kind of like it's shaped like a cone, and the fish nose goes in there.
The cool thing about the Rogers one, though, is you don't have to take it off yet.
You don't have to take it off.
So you have control of it. You just kind of let the fish slide nose down in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can actually use it to help you assist getting the hook out, which is fun. So I wish I had one here physically. I don't know if you have one but around the corner or anything.
I don't think so.
But
it's basically a giant plastic flip-flop.
Yeah, it looks like a plastic flip-flop. It'll fit up to a 12-inch crappie. Anything over that, just
probably a keeper.
Just know that it's a keeper, and you're grinning ear to ear.
Or keep a bumper board.
Yeah.
But other than that, like crappie fishing-wise, you need some good braid cutters or pliers or just anything of that nature. We've got it on the website.
Sometimes you need those little tools that have the eye punchers and all that stuff. You
know? Yep, split ring pliers. Tons of different tools and different options.
Yeah.
Tackle trays. I mean, if you guys are looking to gear up this spring for fishing, I mean, we just did the big fishing sale. But, we got a bunch of great Rogers lures, jig heads, hooks, tackle boxes, tackle bags. Mm-hmm. Basically everything except for a rod and reel. Check it out on RogersSportingGoods.com. Check out the Rogers branded lures.
But let's go
for that B&M.
Oh, yeah.
Dang
it. Yeah.
It's different.
Different?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyways.
I'll just study it closer.
Dipping. Crappie dipping.
Yep.
When I dip, you dip, we dip.
Yep, exactly. So now we've got, you started your crappie fishing out and you're using a 7-foot light or 6.5-foot light or something. You got that kind of going. You're casting, retrieving, you're throwing slip bobbers or whatever. But then you want to get on a boat or a kayak.
And catch them when they're not spawning.
And catch them when they're, you know, in a thermocline, they're not on the bottom, they're not shallow, they're not on the banks, they're on brush piles, standing timber, like that type of stuff.
Yep.
and you're using channels. Electronics, we can talk about electronics here coming up, but you want to get the bait to them quickly, and you don't want to have like, and you want to get the hook set quick, and there's not, you don't want to have a lot of in between casting and reeling in slack and all that stuff.
It does make it tough. Like if your bait's taking a long time to get down to 20 foot of water, like it's hard to know, like when you're counting it down or watching it on your op or like electronics, it's kind of a pain. Go heavier. That's all I'm trying to say.
Go heavier on your jig.
On your jig.
Yeah. So when you're dipping deep waters, yeah, I would say definitely get to an 1/8 ounce is what the biggest you'd use, or
I'd use a quarter.
Use a quarter.
Depends on how deep they are.
Yeah.
And how fast I need to get down there.
Gotcha. But it works great. Like what these dipping rods are, how long do you have? The 10, I've got 11, 10, 12, 14, 13.
I've got a 10, an 11. I think I've got two 11s or two 10s, an 11 and a 13.
Yeah. And these are 12. Like, I think they're technically like 12 foot medium lights.
I don't even know fast. What they're, what
I don't even know if they give them a rating.
They're just
like
jigging
that.
Poles. They're jigging crappie pole. Jig poles.
Yeah. But,
the old ceiling touchers.
But what's cool about them, yeah, they're 12, 13, 14 foot long.
Yep.
And sometimes the crappie are in 14 foot. And guess what? That means you put your,
you have a measuring stick.
You put your hook at the bottom of your rod and you just dip, put your rod right above the water. You are in the fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you did not have to touch the reel at all.
You didn't have to count.
You didn't have to reel.
Half the time when I'm using a jig pole, I don't even have to use the reel.
No, it's just the reel's holding line. So some people go to like really basic reels.
Yeah.
Like
you just need something to keep some line on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've got loose speed spools on mine.
Yeah.
They're like $30.
Yeah. And some guys use bait casters, little crappie casters. I don't know what you call them. Round, little crappie round reels for that.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that?
Yeah.
Like, you don't cast these 12-foot, 14-foot jig poles. You just hit you the just, button. You just set you pull out down. Line. Yeah. Huh. But it's a great way without a bobber or two. Like, you can just straight line. And, man, when you pair up those 14, 13-foot poles with live scope and running into the fish, and you can just watch, you drop your bait, and you can watch your lures go right down to where all these fish, and you can see one come up to it, kind of nose up onto it. Maybe you start to pick up a little bit.
And you feel that pressure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just set it, just pull it up, and that fish will come right out of the water.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
You've got a lot of experience with that.
Yeah.
You've got live scope on your kayak.
Yes. Yeah. And it is really fun to see on live scope how the fish really react with your lures. Like, depends on the day, too. Like, sometimes
I think it's fun to know that you're presenting the bait in the strike zone.
Yeah.
I feel like that makes such a big difference on the water. It's just at least knowing that you're in the strike zone. Because if you don't have that and you're just like casting around, you're like, I don't know, maybe I'll catch a fish.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
So when Josh said earlier in the beginning of this podcast was about like feet up. Like that's a huge indicator for me on live scope that I'm going to get bit potentially.
When they turn.
When they just angle up and I'm, when they come at it from that attack angle from up.
Think about jaws coming up to attack the
boat. I'm like, ooh. And then that's when I'll like slowly pick up on it. So now I'm more focused on the feeling of the jig, and I'm picking up, and I'll start, if I feel any weight or anything off, the hook is set.
How many times do you set the hook before the fish even takes it?
I mean, you got to get your feeling down. Yeah.
It'll happen if you're live scoping for the first time. You're going to see this fish.
They'll go right on top of it, and you're like, oh, it's got to be on it.
It's got to be on there.
Nope.
Pulled it away too soon.
Yeah. What we were dealing with Saturday is the fish were moving in and out. They were staging, and they wouldn't.
Were you like bumping them on the head with the jig, and they still weren't biting it?
Sorta. I'm getting really close, but they wouldn't. Was running a bobber, a slip bobber, because I didn't have a 14 footer on me. My buddy did, and he was having better luck. He took his bobber off. He had better luck straight lining because they weren't. Like hammering it.
You're just dead sticking it.
The only time I would get bit is when my bobber went limp. Like they lifted up on it over then yanking the bobber down. The bobber never went under. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they smacked it up from.
But they were short hitting like that, and they weren't really committed to biting, and it was annoying. But it was a weird day.
They don't bite every day.
It was a weird day.
Nibble it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, add that to cart.
Add that to cart. There's something about that. I guarantee it. You need some of that. Don't those like kind of like disintegrate and like kind of flake off and stuff? Yeah.
They just give it a little bit more
salt. Well, I don't ever touch the glitter ones.
You don't touch the glitter ones? Because
they did just go.
Because you get home and you have glitter all over your eyebrows and your beard.
Glitter
and
everywhere.
Your wife's asking you the questions.
Wife's like, you went fishing? Yes, I did.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, sure you did.
I was at the marina.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's dipping. So.
So where's the fish?
Yeah, where's the fish at?
It was a bad day.
Catch and release.
Yeah. But that's it's LiveScope. I mean, you've been doing it with, like, down imaging and stuff.
Yeah, 2D and down imaging.
You can find the fish marks. You're like, oh, that looks like crappie.
Yeah,
it looks like the right size, shape, right depth, and then you're dropping it into that depth.
And you spot lock right on top. Like, I know they're there. I know how deep they are. Like, I'm there, but the only thing is I can't see my bait presented to the fish.
Yeah,
before, with down imaging and traditional 2D sonar.
I believe before we had spot lock and some of these fun features, you could still use your 2D sonar. That's been out for a while, but you would have to kind of figure out the depth of the crappie, and then you just have to go cruising and find them, mm-hmm. and then try to stay on them.
Well, I'd throw a little buoy out, so like I'd be big motor going around looking at my graph. I find a school of fish,
I drop a
buoy on top of them, and then I come back and those tie up and anchor. Well, don't that was like the last year.
Well, I'm just saying, you know. 6-8 years ago, we go to Lake Fork and go bass fishing and
everybody's in the summer, got buoys out.
And we go find a huge, you know, long main lake point. And you find some fish marks on it with the old Hummingbird 1198, you know, and you drive over it. And then you'd someone be like, Josh, toss the buoy out. And you'd toss it out behind us because all your 2D was on the rear transducer. So it's all behind you. It's all behind you. It's not in front of you. So we'd throw the buoy out behind us. And then we'd go with the Four Trex or something, non-spot lock trolling motor, and we'd sit here and try to run the trolling motor and stay within casting distance of that buoy for hours.
Yep.
Now, you don't have to do any of that. You just push a button.
You just push park.
Yep. You mark the fish on your unit.
If you have the proper equipment,
of course. If you have all that. Yeah, you mark the fish on your unit and go about, you know, let's say whatever you feel like a good cast would be, and then spot lock.
I sit right on top of them.
Well, crappie. Vertically. I was talking about bass, but if you're talking about crappie, yeah, you can stay right.
Crappie will like the shadow from the boat, too. Like, if you're sitting there on a sunny day and you're there for a while, the crappie will actually come and hang out underneath your boat and stay in the shade.
Yeah.
Because they don't have eyelids.
So bring a raft.
You know what? Bring one of those big pool or big lake
side of the boat.
Mat flip mm-hmm. things. You know what I'm talking about?
With a hole in the middle.
Just go roll up to Party Cove when you're down there in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
It's probably a little cold for that.
Yeah. It will not. It's not going to be that warm. We're going to be dealing with 60 degrees. It's not terrible. But good hoodie weather. But, yeah, the whole electronic stuff is getting crazy for crappie. So they're using spot lock, and they're also using these crappie brakes. Have you seen that?
Crappie brakes.
Okay. This is real nerd talk. These guys are rolling. They're cruising high speed on trolling motor. They got LiveScope forward facing sonar
and they're scanning,
finding these. But what they don't like to do, and they're, you know, these guys are like saying that once you come up on a school of fish like that so fast, you can blow them off of that structure, right?
Just spook them.
They're spooking them because they're moving too fast. They're cranking through, right? So now they're mounting these trolling motors or just the props, and they're mounting them to their power poles in the back. And they're in the water facing the opposite direction, and they have a stomp button that says that's pretty much put on the brakes. So all of a sudden they're cruising. They see fish. They hit the stomp button. The two trolling motors that are attached to your power poles or talons in the back of the boat are now shooting your boat backwards as fast as they can at like full throttle. So it's like an emergency brake for a boat. And that's when and then you're stuck right there.
And you got to have your LiveScope probably looking 100 feet out for that to be effective.
And then you can either make your final slow approach, or if you come up on that quick, like you could just spot lock and start fishing. But you didn't, or just, like sometimes stopping a boat when you're cruising like that, you'll roll right over top of them, like quickly. If you're not, you know, if you're swinging, you know, you just want to be able to stop. Anyways, that's real nerd stuff. They started using it on the bass side. That's
more for like tournament angling, like when you got a place to be and you got to put fish for crappie, in the boat as fast as you can go.
But bass guys are starting to do it, and I don't know if they're going to keep it legal. I don't know. I heard some talks about.
So you're telling me people are strapping trolling motors to their power poles?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're even...
Shallow water anchors?
Crappie, let's see here.
I've heard of them, because I saw a boat listed on Facebook Marketplace and it had crappie brakes. I was like,
it had crappie brakes on it.
I was like, what the heck is a crappie brakes?
These are these trolling motors that you mount off the back of your boat. These are these guys just have them hard mounted. Look at that, Josh. That looks right up your alley. It even looks like a boat that you know.
What? You just throw a little Enduro on the float pod of your boat and then just click the on and then button.
People got them hanging off of power pole drops and stuff. Like these guys are getting crazy.
That's excessive.
Yeah, and so you, and I don't know how long they run. You have to turn them off with the button, but like you stomp and they just go full blast the other way.
That's called, you've put everything else on your boat, so why not put reverse trolling motors on?
Yeah.
So I mean, typically,
isn't that crazy, Pat?
That's wild.
The stuff that we got going on for crappie fishing.
What's next?
Yeah,
is crappie going to be the new bass fishing?
I don't know. I mean, YouTube wise, I see a lot of crappie fishing lately. I think it's a great species to target for everybody. Like anybody can go out and figure this out if you live in the area where the crappie are.
Yeah, of course. If you're west of the Rockies, sorry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be crappie out there, though, somewhere. I don't know. Maybe not. Not native or something. I mean,
it's just like, oh, there's got to be trout. Well, there is trout in Missouri, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like where there's not crappie, that's where there's trout.
Let's see if I can find an article.
Why would they want to?
So something coming up with some of these bass tournaments is they'll be addressing crappie breaks.
But what is the reason?
How many they're talking about? And I don't know which circuit this is, bass, MLF, whatever, FLW. I'm even having a hard time picking up with all the different circuits nowadays.
Why are they wanting to
ban it? I don't know. They're just talking about.
Because their boat stops too quick?
They're just talking about they're going to be addressing crappie breaks, how many units, how high the units are. I don't really know what that means. How many transducers and all that stuff is going to be talked about in this upcoming off season. And I don't know exactly who, if this is talking about a certain.
You're saying how many units
I can't,
a guy can have on the front of his boat?
This is not the right article to look at that, but.
So maybe there's some talk about maybe restricting how many and what things can be strapped to your boat.
Yeah, they're trying. I don't know if they're trying to keep it like, just keep it standardized. Like you can only have,
you know, you
can only go up to a 12-inch unit. You can't have a full 42-inch flat screen on your boat. Like, I mean, they're just trying to prevent this technology from going wild.
It doesn't,
because like my dream was always to be doing like glass install like a 60-inch TV in the deck of my boat and have it hooked to the HDMI to a Garmin. But that was always a fun little like idea I wanted to have.
What was that thing looked at earlier?
But now you could. But now guys are running Apple Pro goggle, Apple Vision Pro goggles.
Oh yeah,
and then you found somebody had a glass. I don't know who made it, but it's like
the Google Glass.
Maybe does Google have glasses?
I think they do.
What are they called?
Google Glass.
I don't know what I was on, but
are they AI glasses? What are they called? Augmented reality AR.
Yeah,
like.
But basically, you were seeing
your live scope through your glasses. So you don't even have to have a unit. I think that's the future. Like, let's get rid of these darn screens.
Actually, it'd be awesome. It'd give you more space.
Let's just remember that we need to enjoy the great outdoors and not be strapped into a screen.
Put it into your sunglasses instead of having four screens taking up room on the deck of your boat.
Yeah.
Boom.
This is the one area where I can provide input to this conversation. So the only thing with the Apple Vision Pro, at least right now, is that it still is not clear on small objects. So I don't know.
What do you mean small objects?
Like if you're holding like a small bait in your hand, it's hard to tell exactly what that is from the videos that I've seen, because it's not like pass through. You're not looking.
Sorry about that.
You're not looking through glass. You're looking at a screen.
So this guy's Pro AR live scope glasses,
augmented reality. Did you guys see that? He's ice fishing with these glasses. I don't know what brand of glasses he's rolling. And I'm watching this on my computer, Hayden. We don't have the OBS system set up yet for it to put this over. over top of the video portion, but I'm watching a guy right now. AR LiveScope Glasses is the name of the YouTube video. I guess you can look that up. But you've like his point of view, like you can see everything around you, like the snow and the ice and everything, but you have that screen of LiveScope right in front of you. And he's not. Oh, I think it's so cool. Look at that. That is crazy.
It is cool.
Don't tell me it's not cool.
But how can you focus on two things at one time?
Oh, I bet we're good at that.
It could be dangerous. Like on a boat? Like a boating accident kind of situation?
There's his lure.
Yeah, you see it? He's going to drop right down on those fish.
It's not dropping legal.
Down on oh, look at
fish.
Look at all those little fish down there. Oh, yeah, they're feeding up. They're feeding up.
It's crappie.
Oh, that one got it right there. Yep.
Catching crappie?
I'm sure it's not legal to drive with it on.
Might be a perch.
I know that you can't drive with the Apple Vision Pro.
No, you wouldn't be driving.
You're not driving a bass boat. You'd just be fishing.
Right.
You're on the front deck with the trolling motor down.
But right. I mean, you still have your peripherals. Like the goggles are a little bit different. Like the goggles, you're like.
Can you imagine seeing the first dude on the lake wearing goggles?
Look over.
You're just looking over, and there's this dude fishing in the marina with goggles on.
Yeah. There's your thumbnail, Hayden. You got to put Photoshop
VR goggles
Vision on. Pro goggles on Pat's face.
Yeah.
And with a crappie pole and like a big fish or something, you know. Oh, geez.
All right. I think it's lunchtime, boys.
Is it lunchtime?
Yep.
Crappie?
Not today, ooh, but maybe someday. Gosh, oh, I was going to bring some crane in and have crane with you.
Josh, dang it.
Oh, we got to text and figure out when we're doing like a little fish fry or something.
Yeah, well, we got to do a fishing commercial and then we're going to have a fish fry.
Well, I have fish right now. I don't know how much fish. We're going to eat a lot this weekend, but I imagine there'll be fish coming back.
Well, there's going to be awesome. There's going to be a larger influx of crappie in my household, hopefully here pretty soon.
Well, if you're around the area and you stop by the store and you've got questions, we can go.
We have some.
I mean, we can walk you through all this.
Experts.
Everybody will get you set up with what you need. And
you want to get out on a boat and dip if you want to fish from the bank with, you know, row runners.
And
if
we've
you want
got to, some amazing individuals on our phone lines.
Oh, yeah.
If you're calling in that do a lot of crappie fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So they can answer whatever questions you have. They'd be glad to help
for
you.
For sure.
So. Yes.
But man, I feel like I could go for another hour on crappie, but
if you get out there,
I want to go and get in the
fishing,
boat.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
We got to do a crappie challenge from a pond.
Let's do
I
it.
I think we got that.
We do have a pond.
We do have one.
There's a crappie pond.
Crappie challenge.
Yeah. I got a pond. As of last year, it had some big ones in there. So.
Awesome. Mm. Well, that's great. Yeah. Get out there and enjoy the outdoors, and if you happen to be crappie fishing, enjoy that too. And
send us some pics of the crappie baskets or the 17, 18 inchers that you catch.
Your stringers.
Buddy.
Holding up your stringers.
Yeah.
And don't forget that if you are listening to this, especially if you've gotten this far into the podcast, you're definitely a dedicated listener. So
better
be sure to go follow the Rogers Podcast YouTube channel, because we will slowly be pulling all of the main episodes off of the main channel and putting them over there. So be sure to go follow that. Stay tuned in. And
for sure.
Enjoy your day.
Awesome. Until next time.
Peace. It's time for me to